welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast from the Haunted Attraction Entertainment Community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we are late this week. We're coming clean that we are late. And the reason is simple. Illness has struck the house.
Yes.
It has been a very rough weekend. What should have been a weekend of fun and jolliness descended into utter chaos as some flu-like thing has made its way into our home.
Yes, apparently what I had last week is more severe for other people.
Now, you and I are doing better.
Yeah.
Ellie, however, is down for the count.
Right.
She's in a real bad way.
Yeah.
So if we cough a little more, more and all that stuff, you know what's going on. It's just an illness. Yeah, it was going to be such a great weekend.
It was.
Anyways, but thank you very much for joining us. This is indeed the Sickness Podcast. I mean, Haunt Weekly.
Yes.
You can find us at hauntweekly.com or Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. Please follow and subscribe there. You can also find us at tinyurl.com/hauntweekly. That's our YouTube channel. And finally, we're on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere that finer podcasts are distributed. All right. Now, this week, we're doing another movie review or movie discussion.
Right.
And because the first one went so well. And then it did not end in like an hour-long conversation and someone yelling at us and threatening lawsuits against us. But this one will go better, though.
It will.
I'm actually excited to talk about this one. I'm really, really happy to talk about this one because this is the movie Spookers.
Yes.
And it's got a lot of things that are very interesting to me. One, it deals with a New Zealand haunt.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a different country involved, different look at haunting. And it's also meant to be a longer look at the haunt family and sort of the types of people who work behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So we're going to be getting into that in a minute. But first things first, conference reminders. Crystal, you're the oddball. It's an odd episode. Please start us off.
Okay. February 23rd and 24th, it's Haunt X, the Haunters DIY Expo in Pomona, California at the Fairplex. They will be touring Coffin Creek, lights on and off, and features a costume ball. HauntX.com for more info.
After that, it's the Maze Corn Party in Dallas, Texas and Oklahoma City, Oklahoma from February 27th through March 2nd. It starts at the Westin Dallas Fort Worth Airport Hotel, but it's a bus tour of all kinds of awesome mazes in around the area, including Yesterland Farms, Mainstay Farm, and more. The Maze, THEMAIZE.com for more.
March 21st through the 24th. Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show in St. Louis, Missouri at the America Center. It'll be co-located with the Christmas Show. Darkness, Lint Brewery are behind-the-scenes tours. Features a party at City Museum on Thursday, a performance by the Vampire Circus on Friday, and a Vampire Ball on Saturday. HaShow.com.
H-A-A-S-H-O-W. All right, after that, May 10th through the 12th, it's West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon, at the DoubleTree Hotel, Portland. They'll be touring Millburn's Haunted Manor. It also includes a costume ball, a silent auction, and the Nightmare After West Coast Haunters... Nightmare After West Coast Haunters Convention Film Festival with a secret selection of films, hauntersconvention.com for more.
Okay. May 17th through the 19th, it's Ohio Halloween and Haunters Convention, Ohio State Reformatory. They'll be in Mansfield, Ohio. They'll be touring three haunted houses, Hauntville, the Hudson House, and Haunted Hydro, Zombie Paintball, Freakers Ball, Costume Party, Ghost Hunt, and more. Ohio Halloween and HauntersConvention.com.
Very good. You got through in one breath. I'm very impressed. And finally this week, it's the Midwest Haunters Convention in Schaumburg, Illinois, June 7th through the 9th at the Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center Hotel. There'll be tours of Dead Rising, Midnight Terror, Massacre, Basement of the Dead, and Hell's Gate. And if you've been paying attention to this podcast, you can go back and look at our tour of the Lost Souls Haunted Bus Tour, our episode on it.
Right.
And you'll find that we talked about all those attractions because they were all on the tour and they were all awesome.
Yes.
MidwestHauntersConvention.com for more information. All right. So, spookers. Mm-hmm. As we scroll through all the conferences we're not talking about yet. I love this part of the podcast. Like, oh, we're doing the conference. Scroll for like 3 weeks.
Exactly.
Because we have like I think we literally have 28 conferences in this list.
Yeah.
And we only talk about like six or so at a time. The six or eight coming up.
Right.
And the result, we've got to scroll past like 20.
Yeah, I know.
All right. So, Spookers, it's not just the name of the movie. It's the name of the haunted attraction it focuses on.
Correct.
Now, to give you a little background about Spookers. It is owned, currently at least, by Beth and Andy Watson, a husband and wife team.
Yes.
That are featured heavily in the documentary.
Right. And their son-in-law and daughter, or daughter and son-in-law, are also part owners.
Yeah.
I found that out later. So.
Now, this is a true family affair.
Yes.
Now, they opened in 2005,
mm-hmm.
and they did it by taking over a former King's Seat Hospital, which is a psychiatric hospital that operated from 1932 to 1999.
Right.
Basically, they have had over 2 million guests since then, and they are a year-round attraction.
Yes.
In New Zealand, haunted attractions, haunted theme parks, is what this is more of, are completely separated from Halloween.
Yeah, at least this one is.
At least this one is.
Which is nice.
And so basically every Friday and every Saturday of the year, you can go there. Now, some of the attractions are seasonal.
Yeah.
Like they close down the forest for, like, I think, 6 months out of the year or something like that.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure whenever they're planting the corn, they've got to wait for it to come up too.
Yeah.
For the maze.
Yeah, they have some seasonal attractions, but the main attractions there are year-round. You can mm-hmm. go any weekend of the year and do something.
Yes.
At Spookers. And it'll be something scary.
We hope so.
They have, for most of the attractions there, they have a strict 16 and up policy with ID.
Yes.
Now, they do have some family attractions. They do have a family maze and a few other odds and ends, but really the things you're going to go to Spookers for...
Right.
Are all 16 and up.
Yes, and you have to have your ID.
And you got to have your ID or passport or whatever. You got to have some.
No ID, no entry.
Yeah, no ID, no entry. Their current attractions include the Haunted House, which is mm-hmm. the big house, the woods, Disturbia, their 3D funhouse type thing, and Corn Evil.
Yes.
Which is their corn maze.
Yes.
And yeah. Now, and after their 13th year in 2018, so this is technically last year this happened,
right.
They announced they are looking to sell.
Yes.
They have not sold yet.
Right.
The attraction is still open, the best we can tell, according to their website. They still had postings for auditions and things going on even before, you know, as of like last week.
Right.
But they are looking to sell the attraction.
Yeah, which is interesting. I mean, I get their reasoning. They say that it's because they want to spend more time with family and things like that. But it's still interesting.
Yeah, and because they kind of, I don't want to say fell into the business, but they kind of, you know, because they had a haunted corn maze elsewhere. They had the idea of doing that once upon a time, and then they bought this attraction. They bought the location.
Yeah, it wasn't very clear before Spookers.
Yeah, they tried to talk about it in the documentary, and I'm not sure I fully understood it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they made it sound like they had a corn maze and some stuff before.
Or something, yeah.
But then they wanted a place they could do year-round stuff.
Yeah.
And so then they found the old hospital, they purchased it, and that's when they began setting up.
Right.
And they came to it from other businesses. The family's always been entrepreneurs, business people, but this was their latest jump.
Mm-hmm.
They do have a cafe and bar on premise if you do go.
Yes.
This is very important to me.
Yes, you can go to that. After reading their rules, I would recommend going to the bar after going through the attractions.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what you do. That's what smart people do, at least, is they're going to go to the attractions with their senses up, and they're going to get the max effect of everything. And then they're going to go with their buddies to the bar, grab a couple beers, and talk about what happened and laugh and share in the memories.
Exactly.
And really, you know, commit it to memory then. That's the thing about haunted houses. It's like, you know, you're not just getting the time in the haunt. You're getting the time reliving it and sharing the moments with your friends and family and whoever went with you.
Yeah.
And I think a bar and a restaurant, which at the restaurant part I thought was pretty interesting. It was a pretty big restaurant.
Yeah.
And served like 250 meals.
Yeah, they have private events there, and mm-hmm. you know, you can buy out or plan events at the bar and the restaurant separately from everything else.
Yeah, they had a lot of neat stuff at that in the restaurant and bar mm-hmm. looked. And basically, if you are in the Auckland, New Zealand area and interested in showing up, apparently, if you want employment, you can basically just show up
yep.
at 6:30 and say, "Hey, I want to audition," and they'll let you audition.
Yeah, you should be prepared to do a 1 to 2 minute skit that you think of.
Now, they do have designated audition times that they advertise on their Facebook page, too.
Right.
But they seem to have a pretty open-door policy.
Yeah, which is very interesting considering, you know, what we'll get into later with the makeup and things.
Yeah. Now, this place is huge.
And yeah.
it's kind of the unusual beast, because even though Halloween and haunted attractions are taking off in other countries.
Right.
Here you have what can be described as a very large, very well-made Scream park
mm-hmm.
in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Not exactly the first place I think of when I think of where I would put a haunted Scream park.
No, me either.
It's just a short drive south of Auckland. If anyone's interested in going, you'd fly into Auckland. You'd be pretty close
yeah.
to it. But yeah. It seems kind of crazy to me. And so it became the subject of a documentary called Spookers.
Mm-hmm.
It was released in 2017 by director Florian Habich. Habich? I've only seen his name printed. Habich? Nah, but anyways. H-A-B-I-C-H-T. Someone else figured it out. Smarter than me. And it's got a total of 82-minute runtime. It's not a very long film as far as time goes.
Right.
And I've got to say, the other film we review was The Haunters, Art of the Scare. That one, I felt, put the industry in a very negative light.
Yeah.
This one does the exact opposite.
Yeah, this one's very positive.
This puts the industry in the very best light I think it can.
Yeah.
The absolute best, perhaps. And you know, starting on with the things that we really enjoyed about this documentary, mm-hmm. the light it does put in the industry and what it chooses to focus on really humanizes what we do,
mm-hmm.
and furthermore, I think it puts a very positive spin. It shows the benefit of being in a haunt family. It's all about that haunt family, that inclusiveness.
Yes.
And it portrays, overall, it portrays the haunt as a very, very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it showcases, one of the things I really like about this, something you don't see in a lot of haunts, was it showed the staff, at least briefly showed them, going through safety and orientation training.
Right.
They are a light touch haunt.
Mm-hmm.
And so the line they use is, "Don't touch the wobbly bits."
Yeah.
I am strangely fond of that saying.
Yeah.
It's like shoulders, back, neck, and head.
Yeah.
And back of head are okay.
And
but
bottom legs.
And
calves.
Bottom of the legs. But the face, the chest, and anything, and the waist area is all yeah. off limits. The wobbly bits.
Exactly.
Don't touch the wobbly bits.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty clever, and I actually really like it. And it's a very New Zealand thing to say, doesn't it?
Yes.
And then that's the thing. That's the other thing to note is, since this is, I know this should be obvious, but since this is a New Zealand haunt, everyone is talking in a New Zealand accent.
Well, yeah.
But and so everything about haunting sounds so much cooler.
In a different accent other than an American.
Yes. It just sounds less ominous. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's weird, but it's
funny.
True.
Yeah, that's funny. The other part that I really liked about the safety that was yeah. in there was when they were talking about when customers get too scared.
Yeah.
Getting them out safely, having someone walk them,
and,
because
yeah.
they don't want to traumatize or scar.
Yeah. And they actually showcased the sign
yeah.
customers are supposed to give when they're too scared. They're supposed to raise a hand and say stop, giving that combination of physical and visual. Physical. Yes. Let's get physical. Visual and audio cue, which I think is a good idea.
Yeah, I think that's something we'll implement.
And maybe that's something we're going to have to implement ourselves, because oftentimes in a haunt environment, it can be very difficult to hear, even when someone is screaming or is...
Right. Yeah, and sometimes actors will not hear words. Like, we
yeah.
have a safe word,
yeah.
but if it's being screamed, you might just hear screaming of terror. You might
yeah.
not hear that it's the actual word.
Yeah. So something like put hands up and say the word, that also double verifies that they mean it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we've had incidents in the past where someone has yelled surrender in our haunt and then immediately said, no, no, I didn't ask to get let out.
Yeah, yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did. You totally did.
Yeah.
The rules clearly say if you say surrender, you're going to get escorted out.
Yes, and now it's your entire group getting escorted out.
Yeah, and it's not just one person, it's the group.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we've had that issue too. That adds a little more certainty to it. They really can't deny it if they do a physical action, and I think that's a great idea, basically, is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
But what these combine to do is it portrays the haunt as a safe and fun place to go.
Yes, it does.
It really does. And
yeah.
I'm desperate to go here now. I really want to make a trip to New Zealand. I know I'll never be able to afford it.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that they're going to stay open long enough for us to get over there. Because
it'd be nice if whoever buys it just continues it. I think they've got a good thing going.
Yeah, exactly.
They clearly have been profitable.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where why would you change the business if it's working?
Yeah.
That's what I'd hope. Knock on wood.
Yeah. Well, and they talked about one customer, and I think they even showed her for a minute, where, you know, and it showcases how important that whenever somebody's too scared to continue getting them out, because then they remain your customer. Because this girl has come back 5 times, and she has quit every time. She keeps thinking she'll make it. And she never does.
And she's gonna, you know, we both know. And they're like, I don't know if she's gonna come back for 6. She will.
She will. Yeah.
She will come back.
That she's safe.
She will come back until she makes it through. And then she'll come back again to make sure it wasn't a fluke.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And then she'll keep coming back to prove how bad
she is. And then she'll just, you know, show up at 6:30 and audition and be a member of the family.
And at some point, she's going to be your scare actor.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be how that one goes in my experience.
Yeah.
But it portrayed it as a safe, fun place. And like you said, if you let people out, if you don't overscare, they come back. They're your customers again.
Right.
You truly traumatize someone, they're gone for good.
Yeah.
They're never coming back.
Yeah.
And yeah, it might seem silly for a person to leave bad reviews for a haunt that scared them too much.
Right.
But they will.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want the reputation as the place that doesn't care about the safety and the comfort of your customers.
Right.
So they do a good job with that. And like I said, the staff meetings they showed in this were a really interesting insight into how they do it. How they train their actors to do it.
Yeah.
I've got to say, as far as like the haunt family element of it, though,
mm-hmm.
they had a really good feel-good spin-the-wheel moment. They have like a giant Wheel of Fortune thing that I think if you win some kind of prize, you get to spin it.
Yeah.
And you get like a group hug or a standing ovation. There was other things around that wheel. Stuff like that. It was all free stuff that the group provides.
Right.
But it was all feel-good stuff. And you can tell this one guy really appreciated the group hug and really it meant a lot to him to have that kind of affection.
Yeah.
So it was a really cool feel-good moment.
It was.
I also loved the inclusiveness of the cast overall, though.
Yes.
The diversity was amazing at this haunt, all things. At least the shown diversity.
Right.
Obviously, there's a sampling size thing here. We didn't see everybody who works there in the documentary.
Right.
But in the shown diversity, it looked really good across race, gender, sexuality lines, etc.
Yeah.
To be clear, I might be reading into the sexuality. No one openly said that they were gay.
Right.
That I was aware of, but it was strongly hinted at that a few of them were gay.
Yeah, yes, it was. And, you know, it was nice to see people of all types in scare roles.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't remember seeing many victims at all.
Yeah.
Many people playing victims. Just everybody was the scarer.
Yeah. They even had an actor who's living with HIV right now.
Right.
That was a very touching moment in the documentary.
Yeah.
And it was great that the rest of the cast just accepted him.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big deal. It wasn't seen as a large issue.
Right.
It just purely accepted and they moved on. And in fact, you know, they didn't focus on that issue any because it didn't seem like there was one to focus on.
Right.
Everyone seemed really, really just to love him, and he's a brother, and he's on our team.
Yeah, it continued as normal.
Everything continued as normal.
Yeah,
exactly. And through this documentary, you do get a great feel of the haunt itself.
Yes.
You get a great feel of what the haunt is about, what their characters are like, what their scares are like.
Yeah.
How they pull things together. I would say they use a slightly different style of scaring than we do personally.
Yes.
They seem to be more about the aggressive, in-your-face attack scares, where we're more of the classic distract and startle for you and me.
Right. Yeah, there's lots of chasing. There were some humorous characters. At least I found them humorous.
We would. you and I would.
But yeah, so it was a good mix-up of different types of characters.
Yeah. And how those characters came together was also highlighted. You saw the pairings of some of the...
Right.
The groups that worked together, the teams, if you will.
Yeah.
With humorous characters teaming up with pure scare characters and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty interesting idea. And we also got to see how makeup is done there.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that really blew me away.
Yeah, I know.
Because I love our actors, but man, they're not makeup trained.
Well, and neither are we, to be fair.
Yeah, we've had to kind of learn through trial and error over the years and YouTube videos and things like that.
Basically, my character always has something coming out of my face. So.
Yeah, but we had to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
And how to make it look convincing.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, it's one of those things where it seemed like everyone did their own makeup.
Yeah.
And everyone was fucking amazing at it.
Yeah, there were, I think there was one shot of somebody getting help with makeup.
But it didn't look like it was from a makeup artist person.
No,
it was just another character.
No, it was just another character. And in that case, I believe that she was a fairly young actress, too. Actor.
But yeah, it was it was very interesting to see all of these characters. I mean, all these actors. Most of them fairly young.
Yeah.
Most of these are high school aged and college aged kids.
Right.
Kids. God, I'm so fucking old.
Yes, you are, but that's okay.
Oh, God.
I'm still old.
Just called college people kids.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I'm old enough to have a kid in college, so there you go.
Yeah, I know. Anyway.
Anyway. Point is, doing some amazing things with makeup on the quick, it was really great stuff. And it looked really good, especially in haunt lighting. It looked really good.
It did. And it also was interesting that a lot of them seemed to be able to create their own characters.
Yeah.
They got to choose what they were going to be that night.
Well, something the owners in the documentary said was most of the time they just choose their own characters as long as it's within reason.
Yeah.
You know, I think I believe they had a rule against copyright infringing characters. I did not see any.
Yeah.
Once again, could be a sampling size.
Yeah.
I did not notice any, but I think they have a rule against that. But other than that, you're able to develop almost anything that fits remotely in with what the haunt is.
Yeah.
I mean, and there,
There was the twisted fairy tales thing that they briefly showed. So
yeah,
it's not. But the normal operations that aren't a theme night, I would agree with that.
Yeah, fair enough. Because that did have the American McGee Alice and the Johnny Depp Mad Hatter.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. It was very brief.
It was very brief. You do get a feel also for the owner's motivations and sort of who the owners are as people.
Right.
And they are a strangely endearing and strangely creepy couple at the same time.
I would say that's very true.
Because when they interview them for like most of the time, they're just totally normal people.
Yeah.
They're not even in costume. Remember, they're the owners, the operators. They're wearing haunt shirts and running stuff, you know.
Right.
They're not costume characters.
The husband does.
He runs out and does things in a mask in the parking lot sometimes.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, but he also plays security at night without the mask.
Yeah.
So he does multiple things. I think he just chooses what he wants to do.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the owner's benefit, isn't it?
It is.
But yet they're completely normal people.
Uh-huh.
And then you get into the thistle discussion.
Yeah, you'll just have to watch it and find out what the thistle discussion is.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil that one.
No.
But it's very brief, but when it comes, you'll know what it is.
Yeah.
And also, I want to say I did really love the opening and closing credits.
Yeah.
In this. They were freaking adorable and ingenious. They had the staff the cast members holding painted tombstones with the info that they were trying to say, starring, then a person's name and a person like that. And yeah. They had like a light panning back and forth between the cast members holding it and dancing and moving with it.
Right.
Very creative.
It was. And they would stop dancing just long enough to be able to read it.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
Yeah. And I got to say, I bet that took a lot of takes and a lot of time to do.
Yeah.
I'm gonna wager that took a lot of time.
Yeah.
That was very creative, very fun, and especially the opening credits were really endearing, too.
Yeah.
It warms you up to what the movie's going to be talking about.
Yeah.
All in all, it was just very creative and fun, and it was a great way, I think, to introduce the movie.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, the film raised some interesting points and
yes.
some interesting subject matters I wanted to delve into, because this is kind of the frustrating part of the movie, in a way. Is that it raises all these interesting points and then moves on.
Yeah.
Almost every time. There were a lot of things that they seemed to like glance by, little mm-hmm. drive-by mentions of these things, but no real discussion, no real contrast, no real comparing, and it was a little frustrating. The first one was religious people and this haunt.
Yeah.
Now, in the United States, oftentimes haunted attractions find themselves at odds with churches. Not always.
Right.
But oftentimes.
Yeah.
Churches, many churches are not comfortable with haunted attractions. They think since they're tied to Halloween, they're of the devil. They think they promote violence and blah, 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 whatever else, you know.
No.
I don't get all the logic.
No.
But here they had one very religious person on staff that they interviewed for this.
Right.
And
I'm sure there are others.
I'm sure there are others, too.
They found
one. They got one in the dock. And they said that, you know, people ask them, how can you go work here Friday and Saturday night, then go to church Sunday morning?
Yeah.
And, you know, so, well, to me, it wasn't a big deal. This isn't tied to Halloween.
Yeah, exactly.
And since there's no connection to Halloween, it seemed like there was greater comfort with the various religious institutions there.
Which is a pretty interesting thing, and I wonder if this is common in other places where year-round haunts that aren't tied to Halloween, if it's something that they see, too.
Yeah, I agree. It may well be.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I just thought it was very interesting to hear someone say that, you know, yeah, I'm deeply religious. I'm at church every Sunday. I'm part of the youth group and all this and that.
Yeah. He was Mormon, wasn't he?
I think so. I don't remember.
Or, yeah.
I don't remember what they were.
Okay.
I honestly don't remember. But, yeah, they were talking about how they, you know, they love their faith, they're very proud of their faith, and they see no conflict between this and it, which is something you... I mean, sure, there are plenty of people, deeply religious people in the haunt industry here.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not the most common thing either.
Right.
There are a lot of people who would see a conflict between those two things. And mm-hmm. for this person, the resolution was it's not tied to Halloween.
Yeah.
They obviously still have some issues with Halloween, but...
Yeah, they seem to not do holidays.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Now, the next was the mental institution itself.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is this. Oftentimes when haunted attractions in the United States open and mental institutions or prisons or whatnot, they're long closed establishments.
Right.
They've been closed for decades.
Yeah.
This one had only closed 6 years prior to the haunt opening.
Right.
It closed in 1999. Haunt opened in 2005.
Yeah. That's a very quick turnaround.
That's a very quick turnaround. And there were objections and concerns raised about the use of the recently closed asylum, because basically many of the patients and workers were still alive and still in the area.
Yeah, and they were very upset. There were multiple lawsuits brought against the state for abuse of the patients.
Yeah, the institute before it became a haunt
yeah.
had a deeply troubled past.
Exactly.
It was not well loved.
No.
It seems, judging from this. And so the result of that is it was somewhat controversial to so quickly turn around and make it a haunted attraction.
Yeah.
In the documentary, they played up the it's really haunted angle.
Yeah.
Moderately. They didn't play it to the moon, but...
Yeah, but a few people said they had witnessed things.
Yeah, and seen things and whatnot.
And one of the advantages that the haunt has of buying it so quickly is that all of the infrastructure of the building was still good.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have, you know, the problems of these ancient buildings that are falling down but look really cool and you want to buy, and then you get in there and find out, oh, that's a lot of money it's got to be.
The nursing home of General Meyer.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, there's a really, really beautiful old brick nursing home building not far from our house. We've looked at a couple of times as a potential haunt location, and it is literally falling down. Yeah. Like, part of it's caved in, I think.
Yeah, if I had realized when they closed it, because it was always a keep-off-grounds place, but if I had realized when they closed it, I might have looked into it a little bit more. But
yeah, but now it's totally out of the question.
Yeah.
It looks so badass, though.
It does.
But it will never, ever, ever be up to code.
No.
Just isn't going to happen.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, there was more community pushback, and they didn't really discuss it. Now, they did talk to one nurse and one former patient of the asylum who now worked at Spookers.
Yeah, and I'm not... I know that they were in the documentary, but I wasn't sure if they worked there, if they were just commenting on it. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But it could be.
But regardless, they spoke to them, and the nurse in particular seemed to have issues with the portrayal of mental health in this way, saying that the patients there were not dangerous.
Right. Because basically her argument is that when they closed it, they started trying to put a more positive spin on mental health and bringing, you know, putting a realistic spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the haunt kind of damaged some of those efforts.
Yeah.
Seemed to be her view.
Yeah, exactly. She was of the mindset we have to encourage people to get help for their mental health issues.
Yeah.
And portraying mentally ill people as just being objectively dangerous and murderous and all that is not helping.
Right.
Not helping encourage them.
Yeah.
And I get that. I get that argument. It makes a lot of sense. But they didn't really delve into it much deeper than talking to those two people.
Right.
And then walking away.
Yeah, they didn't. And there was only one person. There was one character who wore a straitjacket.
Yeah.
But a
lot
of...
That he had to order from the United States.
Yeah, I know. But a lot of the other characters were generic horror characters. Yeah. They weren't playing mentally ill people.
Yeah.
At least not the ones that we saw.
Let's see. And then, yeah, but in the end, most people who talked about the hospital were simply happy that it was getting some kind of use.
Right.
That the building wasn't just being left to rot.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is pretty much the alternative, it seems, because
looking
at it, it's a very beautiful building.
Yeah.
It's a very big, beautiful building.
Right.
But there ain't much that can be put in a big, beautiful building like that.
No, not with that history.
Not with that history, especially. You're not going to make it your next, you know, it had a it looked like a rugby pitch right out front of it. You're not going to put, you know, the equivalent of your country club in there.
Right. No, you could, turn it into a non-profit to help the mentally ill.
But that would be a huge building for a non-profit.
It would be.
Mm.
But, there
anyway,
are ways.
But, yeah. And then they also talked about the issue of scaring people before their tickets were bought.
Right.
Now, this was something that was kind of funny, and I've actually done this on accident.
Right, and we've mentioned this before on the podcast.
Let them buy a goddamn ticket before you scare them.
Yeah.
If they run off after they buy a ticket, that's officially not your problem.
Right.
But if they run off before they hand the money over, it's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, you want those dollars.
You want the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they had to rein in some of their queue line actors for being too aggressive when people were in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And basically tell them, look, let them get them to the damn ticket booth at least.
Exactly.
Get them to the goddamn ticket booth at the very least.
Yeah.
And that sort of tied in with the customer care discussion that they had about, like we were talking about earlier, about how to not overscare someone.
Right.
About how to take care of our customers and basically treat them with respect and make sure that they are having a happy, safe time. That this is all in fun, not, something that's going to be mentally traumatizing to them.
Right.
And they also talked about it from a safety standpoint as well. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys, they do a, that's the thing I think I liked best about them, was the very customer-centric focus they put on it.
Yeah, well, and it's very customer-centric, and it's also very family-oriented.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a family, they take care of their haunt family, and they take care of their haunt customers. You know, it's all feel-goods.
Yeah, it's all feel-goods, yeah. Now, I think the most interesting characters for me were the owners. We touched on them a little bit ago.
Right.
But they were, to me, probably the highlight of the film in a very weird, bizarre way. Though I did like learning more about the various characters. I especially like the guy who dresses up as a clown character.
Yeah.
Even though he is mortified of clowns.
Yeah.
This is his, he said therapy.
Yeah.
But if you're doing it this long and you're still mortified of clowns, I don't think the therapy's working.
Yeah, I don't think he still is, but he was when he started.
But yeah, so he dresses up as a horror clown character.
Mm-hmm.
And he, when he started, at least, he was terrified of clowns.
Yeah.
I love that guy. I loved everyone. Okay, to be clear, everyone in this movie was endearing.
Yeah.
Across the board.
Yeah.
Absolutely everyone. And the thing I think, the reason haunters, like, need to see this movie is because no matter who you are, what you do, what stage in your career you're in,
mm-hmm.
you're going to identify with someone in this movie.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
I mean, and you may recognize someone that you were at a past point, you know, in your haunt career.
Yeah.
You may recognize who you are now, but you're going to identify with someone. Someone in there is going to speak to you.
Right.
And the owners spoke to me the most.
Yeah.
But also the clown guy. Same reasons. I wish I could remember the name. I wish I could remember any of the names.
Yeah.
But
they were, some of them were very hard to pronounce.
Yeah, I don't think I could pronounce them even if I could remember them as part of the other problem.
Exactly.
So it's probably best that I don't.
Yeah.
But yeah, the owners, though, I did strongly identify with because they are two people who, a lot like us,
yeah.
can present and pretend to be very, very normal.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a boo gotcha moment for a lot of people when it's like, yeah, we got a haunted house in our garage.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just businessmen. You could totally believe that they're businessmen until she comes back with 300 sets of false teeth from America.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And things like that. It's like they seem so normal until you listen to them.
Right. Well, and it's also was really nice because she has a lot of input in the haunt. In fact, the husband wasn't introduced until much later in the mm-hmm. documentary. And, you know, she's someone that I would love to have on just to interview for the Women in Haunting series.
Yeah, it'd be a hell of a time zone thing to deal with there.
It would. But.
But, yeah. No, she was awesome. And she's clearly really weird.
She's pretty twisted.
Really weird. Like, the husband, I think, is like normal haunter twisted.
Yeah.
He likes scaring people. He likes putting the mask on, getting people in the, mm-hmm. the queue line in the parking lot. He likes the construction side, the building side, and making things and all that. And that's all good. She's, like, just genuinely disturbing.
Yeah.
In a way that even haunters often aren't.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to describe, and it's all... And it's all made that much weirder because it's buried under the layers of seeming normalcy.
Because, you know, I mean, the very first scene
mm-hmm.
is you hear her talking and she sounds like a grandma that's being all happy and stuff. And she's like, oh, I'm making babies. And then they pan over and it's these horror babies that are...
Two heads and bloodied up.
And she's talking about blood recipes and it's, you know...
Like Martha fucking Stewart there.
Yeah.
You want it to look slick even after it dries, so you have to use a little bit of...
Yeah, exactly. So, but, yeah, there's definitely a twisted element just because of how normal...
She seems.
Yeah.
Until you
Which
listen...
is normal for us. I mean, it's normal... in our community, but
no,
we're not getting into what is normal discussion anymore.
No, we're not. We're very bad barometers of it anyway.
Yeah.
Now, as much as we did enjoy the film, there are a few criticisms I do want to throw out.
Right.
And a few things I'd like to caution. The first is that there's no overarching plot in this film.
Right.
Which may not seem like a huge deal, because basically it's like, okay, here's this person.
Yeah.
This is what they do. This is how they got involved. This is their story. You have like 5-10 minutes. You have like 5 minutes or so with them.
Yeah.
Move on to the next person or people. And then maybe you'll come back to that person later. Maybe you won't. Who knows?
Right.
But basically, there's no overarching theme other than, like I said, they have the family theme, but even that isn't really a theme throughout the movie.
Right.
It's basically just a series of interviews with cast members and the owners.
Yeah.
Pretty much straight through. And they aren't very connected to one another. There's not much information about the haunt itself. Most of the stuff I told you at the very beginning of the podcast, we had to get from outside sources.
Yeah, exactly.
That was from their website, for Facebook, and other locations.
Yeah. And a news article about them wanting to sell.
From stuff.co.nz, I think it was. So yeah, we had to get that from outside sources. It really doesn't delve that much into the history. And what they did tell us, I walked away feeling a bit confused about.
Right, exactly.
We talked about earlier. So that's kind of weird. But what they do very well is they interview these people. They get to know them, why they're doing it, what they love about it, how they got involved, and what makes them, you know, unique and worthy of the focus of the documentary, whether they're living with HIV, whether they are, you know, afraid of clowns but dressing up as a clown, you know, what it is that their special case.
Right.
And honestly, this breaking it apart like this without anything overarching made the film feel longer than it was.
Yeah.
It was an 82-minute film that felt significantly longer.
It did.
Second thing, and we touched on this earlier, they approached interesting topics and kept dropping them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had 2 interviews that discussed the history with the asylum.
Yeah.
And discussed the history and community pushback on it. And that was it.
Yeah.
It was like 5 minutes in the entire documentary, and it was less than that, actually. And it was just gone.
Yeah.
It was just gone. And it was very bizarre, because it was like, okay, this is actually interesting. They did something that was controversial. I think, overall, still a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I can see why there was pushback. How did they communicate their intentions?
How did they overcome that pushback?
Yeah, how did they overcome the pushback? How did they do community outreach? How did they, you know, what did they do to deal with this?
Right.
And it wasn't really discussed.
No.
Like, I don't know, maybe Spookers donates money to mental health charities. Maybe that's a big part of what they do.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
It would.
There's a lot of things they had the potential of doing there in the covering, and it didn't really delve into it. Like I said, all those topics we mentioned above are just really super brief mentions. I wanted to hear much more about the relationship between the haunt and the community.
Yeah.
They didn't really go into that at all.
No, they didn't.
They showed the cast members in Auckland. They showed them out in...
Right.
Among normal people in normal society. And people just seemed to kind of ignore them.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's them again.
Those idiots again.
Yeah.
They're from Spookers. Yeah, we know them.
Yeah.
I want to go into that. I want to understand their relationship with the community, especially since it's New Zealand.
Yeah.
Especially since it's New Zealand. I also wanted to hear more about how it's a year-round haunt.
Yeah.
It wasn't made abundantly clear in the movie.
No.
We ended up learning that actually after we watched the movie.
Yeah.
That it was a completely year-round haunt. I wanted to learn more about the challenges of that.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to hear about who their customers are. Auckland's not the biggest city in the known universe.
Right.
They've been open for 13 years and had 2 million people go through. So who are these people? What are the demographics? Are they locals? Are they tourists?
Yeah.
Why do they go there? What is it they do there? Are they going there on date nights? Are they going there as like a rite of teenage passage? What's the purpose? And what do the customers think of the haunt?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think there was a single interview with just a customer.
No, I don't believe so.
And that's kind of a missed opportunity. I would have liked to have... I understand the goal of the documentary is to show what goes on the other side of the wall.
Right.
But I think to have something, a mirror against it, to showcase what customers thought, someone to speak for customers, would have been interesting.
It would have been.
And they didn't do it.
No.
You know, but basically, I wanted to hear the full story of this haunt. I want to hear how it got started, what they're doing, how they got there. And instead, we got basically a series of vignettes involving various actors who, well, once again, all of them endearing people.
Yes.
There was no one on this movie I was like, oh, I don't like that person.
No.
I didn't get gruffy once with anybody.
No.
They're all great. But yeah, it was just pieces of a disjointed story.
Yeah.
And I really feel like there was more like an actual narrative thread they could have pulled out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, just having that thread, I think, really would have helped the movie.
Mm-hmm.
All in all, though, if you're a haunter, I think you need to see this.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. It's free on Shudder right now. And Ellie said Amazon Prime also has it. So,
yeah.
Two very good options to view. We watched the Shudder version. If there is any difference, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, haunters are just going to love this movie. And the reason is because it's not only a great portrayal of the haunt environment and the haunt family, it's also a great portrayal of the people involved.
Right.
You see these as, yeah, maybe they are slightly misfits. Maybe these are people who society thinks is weird or abnormal, but they're still good people. They still love being loved. They still love belonging somewhere.
Right.
And Spookers gives them that.
Yeah.
It's very touching.
Mm-hmm.
It delves really well into why people choose to work at haunted attractions.
It does.
You really get into that.
And why the haunt family is so important to your haunt.
Yeah, that's one thing that I thought was really interesting was, maybe this was worse for the documentary in its own way, mm-hmm. but there was no drama between the actors at all.
No.
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 Just none. There was zero. Zip, zilch, nothing. Everybody got along.
Yeah.
Like, swimmingly.
Which is great.
It's amazing and it's beautiful to see. Yeah, this is ultimately, I think, is a movie by haunters for haunters. I don't know if it's really by haunters, but it feels like it's by haunters for haunters.
Yeah, it does.
You know, that being said, I don't know if the general public's going to get much out of it.
I hope that they watch it, though.
I do hope they watch it. I agree. I just don't know if this is going to, you know, be a documentary of the year for people who aren't haunters.
Right.
Because we're getting to see ourselves. We're seeing the mirror image of who we were. Literally, in this case, since it's New Zealand, it's the upside down version of who we are. It's mirrored. You get it? It's mirrored.
Yes.
It's a joke.
Uh-huh.
Not a good one. It's a joke. I know what I'm getting out of this. I'm looking at this and going, oh, dude, I'm like that person. I see myself in that person.
Yeah.
I don't know if the regular public is going to quite get that. But they did do an excellent job putting a human face on haunters. They explain why people do haunting. And they showcase how diverse and interesting those people are.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a beautiful thing, and I do hope the public picks up on that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I miss the fact it doesn't have a narrative thread through it. And I actually read a couple reviews of the movie, which is kind of a cheat, I admit, before I jumped into this.
Right.
The Hollywood Reporter review said that it was a very touching, all things we just said, it was a very touching look into the world of haunted attractions and this haunt. But they said it felt repetitive.
Yeah.
And I can understand that. I can agree with that.
I can see that, yeah.
I can see that. I don't think they're necessarily wrong. I still think it's a great film, though.
Yeah.
I do think it might have benefited from being a little shorter, though. Like, maybe like a Vice doc or something.
Yeah.
Might have helped it. I don't know. Still, if you're a haunter, go see this film. It's a great representation. And if you do not identify with at least one person in that movie, I don't know. Just
you'll give them their money back listening to the podcast?
Yeah, I'll give you your money back for listening to this episode. You know, it's just, wow. They really covered a wide spectrum of haunters.
Yeah.
They had older people. They had younger people. So between the owners and the others involved in it, you had a very, very wide range of ages, backgrounds, and reasons for doing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you will definitely identify with one or more of the people featured. And honestly, I think the biggest divide might be whether you identify as one of the owners or one of the actors.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the big divide.
Yeah, well, then that usually is.
Yeah. And honestly, as a haunter, though, I really enjoyed seeing a haunt experience we don't get normally.
Right.
I mean, it's both a year-round haunt and a New Zealand haunt. Yes, I'm very familiar with haunted attractions. Yes, I've made hundreds of visits to haunted attractions. Oh, there's I've never been to a New Zealand haunt.
Right.
And I've only been to a couple year-round haunts.
Yeah.
Those are two very new things to me, and that was really exciting to have that. So, yeah, it may not be the best documentary in terms of, like, a film.
Right.
But it is definitely a great representation of haunting and haunters.
Yeah.
And that alone gets it my personal seal of approval.
Yeah. We'll be watching more documentaries.
Yes, we're getting back on the documentary bandwagon.
Yeah. So you maybe hear more about those in the future episodes.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think. I'm looking forward to this. We've gotten some great recommendations on documentaries from some of you guys. So keep those coming. Please, yes. If you know of any documentaries we do not know, get in touch with us. You can do so at Twitter at Haunt Weekly, at Facebook at Haunt Weekly, or just send us an email at hauntweekly.com. We have a contact form now.
Yeah.
So that's pretty damn cool. So feel free to email us there. You can also find us at tinyurl.com/hauntweekly. That's our YouTube channel. And of course, you're always free to find us on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere else finer podcasts are distributed.
Yes.
Well, until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly episode number 167, talking about spookers. We will see you guys next time, hopefully in slightly better health.